And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I heard the neatest description of the church here. I can't remember if I shared this last week or not, but very definitive of the seasons of Christmas and of Epiphany, which we're in now. And the description goes like this. At Christmas, during that season, we celebrate God giving us the gift of his Son. And during the Epiphany season, we celebrate God unwrapping the gift for us. And you know, Epiphany is showing forth, and God showing forth to us, revealing to us all of the characteristics of this precious gift he has given us in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we continue today, and we see Jesus early as a very young child being presented at the temple, and that was the focus of the gospel reading this morning. But I would like us to hone in on the application for us, and that's really in the epistle reading. And I'd like to reread this again. This is just a fascinating text. But Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 18, we hear again these words. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. But I really like to hone in on verse 15, deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You know, one of my most favorite movies of all time, and certainly one of my favorite Easter movies, is the movie Risen. And if you haven't seen that movie, I encourage you to, I have it if you want to borrow it from me, but I encourage you to watch it. It's somewhat fictional about some of the characters, but on the other hand, even the fictional characters you could almost apply to some of the Roman authorities in the gospel accounts. But anyway, the focus is on a tribune by the name of Clavius. And tribunes, they were in charge of 500 soldiers. So these were very elite, authoritative commanders. And in the movie Risen, Clavius is with Pontius Pilate and working closely together. And Clavius is like Pontius Pilate's right-hand man, as depicted in the movie. But it begins with Clavius in battle with the Jews, and there's bloodshed, and it's just horrifying to imagine what those battles were like, up close and personal with swords, and all of the blood that is spattered on even those who survive. And after a long day of battle, Clavius comes in to see Pontius Pilate. And the two of them are really discussing what their aspirations are in life. And Clavius makes a very interesting statement. He says, I would like to have a day, just one day, without death. Think about that. A day without death. Just think about this past week in our lives and the things that we've heard. Of course, it was all over the news, right? Kobe Bryant, somebody that's well known, tragically dies with his daughter and several other people in a helicopter out in the LA area. And so death was all over the news. And then this past week, we've heard a lot about the coronavirus, right? And we know the plague's historical past that literally took millions upon millions of lives throughout the world. And you always wonder, is this the new virus, maybe the new plague that could do that, even in our modern technology of the day? But we hear already the number of people that are dying. And so death, again, flaunted on the news. And of course, here among our own family of Trinity, Bob Thorgerson and his family, Donna, his wife, as they grieve the loss of Bob's mother who passed away this past week. And we have Tim and Tiffany Martin. Tim's mother passed away recently. And we have Miss Mary, one of our preschool teachers who flew out to upstate New York this past week because her mother-in-law died. We deal with a lot of death, don't we? Whether it's up close and personal, or whether it's heard on the news, people that we may know of. And in light of that, can you imagine a day without death? I thought that was just such a profound statement by Clavius. Well, here's the good news. God offers to the world this reality. We don't have to imagine a day without death. The Lord has revealed great things to us through the gift of His Son, and through the gift of His Son, the victory that has been won even over death. But the question is, do we trust? Do we believe that Jesus indeed has done and accomplished what He came to do? You know, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, at the introduction of this chapter that you don't have before you this morning in our epistle reading, but it's introduced in this way: how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So God, speaking to the world, even to the church, through the book of Hebrews, with this question: how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And it's a rhetorical question, and the answer is clearly, we cannot escape death apart from Christ. It is unavoidable, isn't it? God makes that very clear, and certainly by experience, we know that to be very clear, that death truly is unavoidable. We are all going to die. We just don't know when that will happen. You know, in Psalm 89, verse 48, for instance, God just lays it out there. What man can live and never see death? Another rhetorical question. The answer is no one. 1 Peter 1:24, we hear as Peter quotes from the prophet Isaiah, all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Even if you're somebody known and popular as Kobe Bryant, you can't overcome this one. And you know, in a few days, few months, few years, Kobe will be forgotten. His name will become unknown to the majority of people. And it's just the way it is in life on this earth. But that's physical death. And if that isn't severe enough, knowing it's unavoidable, what about God's judgment for sin, which is spiritual death, spiritual separation from God? In Hebrews 9:27, for instance, God lays it out there again. God doesn't make this complicated or think, well, I wonder if this is really true. But God just says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. And that judgment is final. There's no appeals. That is final. I'd say that's a pretty serious statement. By the way, a misprint in your study guides, if you're following those, it should be Romans 6:23. But the wages of sin, God says, is death. The wages of sin is death. And death there meaning not only physical death, but eternal condemnation in hell. And who of us this morning can say, I have never sinned? We've all inherited original sin, right? And that sin alone would condemn us for eternity. That's how serious God's law and judgment is, and how powerful and serious death is. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And you know, the sad thing is, the majority of our culture, the majority of the world, rejects, neglects this very thing. And even as Christians, can't we kind of get into that spare tire faith mentality? It's kind of like, boy, I'm busy, you know, I've got a lot of things going on in life, and my kids, my goodness, they're in every activity you can imagine, and we're running here and there and to and fro, and we kind of park Christ on the sideline somewhere, or dare I say, put him in the trunk like a spare tire. We want that spare tire there, right? We want to have the security of knowing it's there, but out of sight, out of mind, we don't really need it most of the time. So we think, right? But it's sad, and it's very dangerous for us to fall into that entrapment. Remember 9/11? And specifically, what I remember as a pastor after 9/11, there were a lot more people in church. Boy, I tell you, and other pastors, churches shared the same thing. I mean, there was an influx of people into churches that people had never seen before. It was a shock of all shocks when that event happened. And some were wondering, is this going to be the beginning of the end? And people took the spare tire out of the car, if you will, and thought, maybe it's time to look at this seriously. But then what happened after a few weeks? Everything's getting back to normal. Don't really need God that much anymore. And it's so easy, again, to be distracted by the pleasures of the world and its busyness. And certainly, who wants to think about death? Do we wake up in the morning and say, yes, today I'm going to focus on death all day? No, we don't like to think about it. But we can't avoid it. And the reality, though, of a lifestyle of trying to avoid it and just pushing God to the side is going to be a life of fear and insecurity. Isn't that incredible what God says that we have been delivered from? From the fear of death and lifelong slavery. You see, we can't really live if we're terrified of death. Because it's flaunted before us every day. We don't like to think about it, but we can't deny the reality. But if we don't know how to overcome what we can't avoid, that's terrifying. And that is slavery. Lindy and I have a lovely couple that are some of our best friends, and yet we're not sure where they're at in their faith. And but it's revealed sometimes. One time we always have a card game night every week, and we get together. And one time, Lindy and I were talking about planning for our funerals. Oh my gosh, did that put them into shock? It was like, oh, I don't even want to think about that. And I said, well, it's important that you do, but. You know, that approach, I think, if you visit with people, is the way most look. And it's very revealing of the fear that, again, you don't really see it maybe, but it surfaces in those discussions. It's there all the time. And if you live in fear, then you're enslaved to it. And God doesn't want us to live that kind of life. Isn't that awesome? The Lord does not desire that kind of life for us. But think about it as parents, and God bless our parents here with your young kids here and faithfully here on most Sundays and bringing your family up in the Word of God, Jesus at the helm, at the forefront. But so many families today, it's like every other event in life is a priority. Over taking time to be in the Word, taking time to be in worship, taking time to be in prayer. It's almost an abuse. It is an abuse, isn't it? Of our kids, of our grandkids, if everything else becomes a priority over Jesus. Why? Because we are really pushing them away from the only source of life and pushing them away from security. Security and never having to be enslaved to or afraid of death. And again, we know that that's God's will for you and me. His will is that we never live in fear in the sense of being afraid of. And so it's through faith that God does incredible things. I mean, we receive these blessings through faith, and we hear them in this text, and that's the theme of the sermon this morning. And these are really key words I hope you can hold on to. What powerful statements God makes. And it's destroyed, delivered, helped. And so the point that God makes and clearly reveals, and all the way back to dedicating Jesus at the temple, Simeon there, seeing Jesus and stating, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Jesus has come, that precious gift, and he's won the victory. Yes, he's won the victory over that unavoidable thing that we know as death. And he did it in the most incredible way, by becoming our brother, by sharing with us flesh and blood. He becomes true man. He takes on our human flesh. And it was necessary for that big word, propitiation, that you see in the text. And that simply means Jesus' righteousness covering our sin. So when God looks upon you and me as a child of faith, we are covered with Jesus' perfect righteousness. And in that covering, God receives us through his Son. And Jesus, as we hear in the text, destroyed the devil. Do you ever think about the devil very much and his influence and his power? You know, Luther stated this: the devil's work is to crush us under his feet, and because of our sin, to dispatch us from life into death. That's a pretty profound statement when you think about it. What a description of Satan's goal, wanting to crush us and wanting to separate you and me from the gift of life that Jesus has won for us. And how does he do that? He tempts our human flesh into going his way of sinning. And then once we've fallen what Satan, have followed what Satan has led us to do, what does he do? Does he cheer us on? No, then he stands there and accuses us, doesn't he? He's got quite a strategy in the way that Satan works in the lives of all of us people, or the way he attempts to work, to lead us into sin and then to stand there and laugh at us and accuse us for the sin that we have committed, and in that accusation to create the atmosphere that God could never love us or forgive us. And boy, we got to be careful with that one. What voice do we listen to? But the voice God clearly brings to you and me this morning is the victory over death has been won, and not over only over death, but over the fear of death. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, again, we hear these words: deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That word delivered. In some translations, it's help. And the word is very rich because it means to seize or to take hold of. The way to visualize this, it's like we're in this horrible state that's going to destroy us. Jesus takes a hold of our hand and he pulls us out of this state that is going to destroy us. That's the visual that this word delivered has. And so the Lord is pulling us away from the fear of death and being enslaved to that fear. Jesus is saying, come beside me, come with me, and you'll never have that fear again. Why? Because he came in flesh and blood, and in flesh and blood, he went through the mystery of death, didn't he? And he conquered it. He not only survived, he conquered it, he won the victory, and Jesus says, that victory's for you. Take my hand. Come on. Follow me. I'm going to take you through this. And you need not fear. And of course, John 11, right, in the context of Lazarus' death, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever believes in me will never die. Hear that? Will never die. You and I, as children of faith, we are living in the security of everlasting life this very moment. Death no longer can harm or destroy us. Physically, we will die, but spiritually, we continue to live. It's simply transitioning from life in a broken, sin-corrupted world to life in glory in heaven, where we're going to see the Lord with our own eyes. Truly, we are living every day as though it's a day without death, because we have been given the gift of life. And even in our journey of eternal life on this earth, the Lord doesn't stop there, but he also gives us the victory over temptation. And so here's another helped that we hear in our text before us. And by the way, I was having a bad day putting these notes together. Should be Hebrews 2:18 and then Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16. But in these rich texts, we hear in verse 18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. You know the significance of those words? And here, a different word in the Greek for helped, it means to come to the rescue of, to come to the aid of. And so not only does the Lord grab our hand and lead us out of death into life, but the Lord says, I'm here for you ongoing. And this is why it's so important that in our hearts we don't put Jesus in the trunk as a spare tire. We need the Lord's presence among us to be focused on his will ongoing, because we live in a very corrupt and deceptive world and we cannot win this battle on our own. But what does the Lord say? I'm walking beside you. I've been through every temptation you could ever imagine. And I am here and I will help you when you are being tempted to overcome it. In Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, beautiful words. Look at these. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Think about that. You know, the Lord never laughs at you and me because of our weaknesses and say, oh, that's pathetic. You know, I'm just going to let you fend for yourself. That's so bad. No. The Lord understands on the human level. He is true man. And when we go through these temptations, he is able to sympathize with us, as we hear in these words. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. There's the victory. Jesus did what we could never do. Let us then, and Mr. Whitney, that's what you shared with the kids. Yeah, I make these promises to others or to God, and I want to faithfully do that, but we generally fall short on those promises. But God still forgives us. But Jesus is without sin. He never once fell short on a promise. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. Hang on to those words, because there's your attack on Satan. You ever hear Satan's voice? Oh, what you did, God will never be able to forgive you of that. You know what? Don't even think you can go to God in prayer or otherwise, because he's written you off because of that sin. That's the voice of Satan. But what does God say? With confidence, isn't that awesome? With confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. We need God's grace. It's when we're broken in our sin that perhaps we realize the most of needing his grace. And notice when we come to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is there anything more important that we can share with our kids and grandkids than that? You know, some families, boy, the kids got everything, you know, and they've got life savings accounts and everything else. They're set up for life, so they think. But dear friends in Christ, this is being set up for life. When our kids, as well as us as parents, grandparents, know we can come with confidence at any time to the throne of grace. That is security, and security living in eternal life. You know, it's through this faith, it's through the promises God gives, received through faith, that we can really then live. And we can even taunt death. Do you know in our liturgy, Lutheran liturgy for our graveside service, that in essence, we're laughing at death at the graveside. And the words that are spoken are from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. O death, where is your victory? Now think about that. You're at the graveside. Your loved one's body is there. They're going to be buried. But here's the promise God speaks. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're living in eternal life, when we're living no longer under the slavery of the fear of death, we can stand at the graveside and literally taunt death in the name of Jesus Christ who has conquered it. And then there's that wonderful therefore in the next verse. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's not a spare tire faith, is it? But that's the Lord at the helm. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Wow, that's our life. I think about Clavius. Oh, if I can only have a day without death. I can't tell you this because you got to watch the movie. But there's really an awesome scene before Jesus ascends into heaven. And he shares something with Clavius. But I'll leave you find that out. Not only a day without death for you and me as God's people, but we live eternity with Christ. In his precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is with us now and for eternity. Amen.